On Saturday, Donald Trump held a fundraiser in the former home of Barry Goldwater, the Republican who lost the 1964 presidential election in a landslide to Lyndon Johnson. The event once again drew comparisons between the men. Both are known for being outspoken and creating tension within the Republican Party. But the late senator's widow said Goldwater would be appalled by Trump raising money in their former home. Barry Goldwater Jr. joins us now from Phoenix. He's Goldwater's son. And Mr. Goldwater, what do you make of Trump's visit to your father's house?
Well, a home is only where your family lives. My family doesn't live there anymore. It's somebody else's house. And he can do what he wants to. But replying to Susan Goldwater's remarks, let me remind you that Susan Goldwater is a Democrat. She supports Hillary Clinton. So I'm not surprised at what she had to say, and you can take it with a grain of salt.
But what would your father think about Donald Trump?
I don't know. I can't really interpret what his thoughts were. He was a party person. He believed in his party and supporting his party. And I remember him oftentimes saying to those who didn't like the candidate is to get him in elected and then try to change him. So he was he would be supportive of Donald Trump after he has won the Republican nomination. And he would say to everybody, come on, let's get on board. He's our candidate. Let's work for him and get him into office. And then if we want to, we can try to change him.
Many of the connections around these two men have evolved around your father's rejection of the Civil Rights Act. And they say his critics would say that it cost him dearly, especially among African Americans. And there are parallels, some say, to today's rhetoric with Donald Trump on Latinos and immigration. Do you see any parallels there?
Well, I really don't. My father was misinterpreted, and there was a lesson to be learned, is don't let your opponents define who you are. My father was very much of an integrationist. He integrated the National Guard in Arizona, the bus stops, his own department store, the airports. He was a member, one of the founding members of the NAACP. He got one of the highest rewards from the Urban League. He voted for every civil rights bill that came to the United States Senate, except the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And he did that because of constitutional grounds. So he was very much of an integrationist. He was well liked by all the different nationalities here in Arizona. So Trump, on the other hand, he's made some statements that are not very attractive.
Well, let me ask you, do you think that your father was better on the issue of race than Donald Trump?
Oh, but I think much better. Sure he was. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. My father has a record. He spent 30 years in the United States Senate where he had to vote and register his beliefs and his feelings about such things. And as I said, he's voted for every Civil Rights Act that it was ever presented to the United States Senate.
And I also want to ask you about this idea of anti-establishment. Your father, in 1964, was considered to be anti-establishment. Of course, he was a serving senator, so he was in some way a Washington insider. But there's been so much talk about Donald Trump as this anti-establishment guy. Connections there? Can you make those?
Well, Donald Trump is very unorthodox. Everything I knew about politics went out the window when Donald Trump came onto the scene. He's not a polished politician. He speaks his mind. My father did the same thing. But my father, I think, was a different kind of person who was thoughtful, who was serious and was principled, who was sensitive to other people. I think what we have with Donald Trump is somebody who is speaks his mind and is appealing to the masses. The people are frustrated. They're angry. And they're looking for a leader, somebody who's going to start putting America first for a change. He may be unorthodox and maybe somewhat glib in the way he says things, but that's Donald Trump. That's his personality.
That's Barry Goldwater Jr. speaking to us on the line from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you very much.
All right, Peter, anytime.
And for a deeper look, we're joined now by Elizabeth Shermer. She's an assistant professor of history at Loyola University Chicago, and she edited the book Barry Goldwater and the Remaking of the American Political Landscape. Elizabeth, what do you think? Is this comparison between the two men fair?
I actually don't think it is. I mean, on the surface, it looks like it is, right? They both seem, especially a recent, recent things that we've learned, that Donald Trump is not quite the businessman that he's made himself about to be. Barry Goldwater was not the retailer. He really inherited that his father's department store and turned it over. There's also a lot of excitement about these two candidates. There's also a distrust about who either now or back then was sort of the established figures in the GOP. And they really seem to be dividing the party, right? The Republican Party, but also the potential of wooing away disaffected voters, particularly from the Democratic Party in both cases. And also, they both seemed for their particular time very coarse. There's a lot of concern right now about Trump meeting with evangelicals. Can he make them feel okay about his multiple divorces? Barry Goldwater styling himself as, I am not of that elite Nelson Rockefeller, patrician world. Instead, I'm a cowboy conservative. Ignore the pool in the background of me sort of behind the Arizona landscape. But it doesn't really work when you actually get past that because, Barry Goldwater, by the time he's running for president, by the 60s, he's an established politician.
Yeah, like,
that's really
senator.
What he made his career. Yeah, and Trump is not. Goldwater is actually drafted, into being a president, but he's a figure in this. And Trump really did come out of nowhere and really sort of surprised a lot of people.
Well, let's put this into some historical context. Going back to the 1964 convention when Goldwater received his party's nomination, he had just beaten Nelson Rockefeller, who gave a defiant speech in San Francisco decrying extremist elements of the party.
These are people who have nothing in common with Americanism. The Republican Party must repudiate these people.
Rockefeller there referring, of course, to Goldwater, and here's Goldwater's response. It's now a famous line.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Professor Shermer, just remind us what Goldwater stood for and also what his relationship with the party was. Because right there, I can see why some people are drawing comparisons between 2016 and 1964, this intense split between the party.
Well, the way that we have to think about Barry Goldwater and the early conservative movement sort of coming, around him, or eventually would sort of make him his candidate because he's a part of a broad movement, is that they're standing for a repudiation of modern liberalism, New Deal liberalism. And they hated Republicans like Nelson Rockefeller, called Me Too Republicans, or liberal and moderate Republicans who seem to be, and this is Goldwater's very famous indictment of Eisenhower, that he was giving America a dime store New Deal, right? And so what you see is, this is actually how Goldwater moves from a career in retail into a career in politics, this idea that we will actually make it's the story of the 64, the tagline of the 64 campaign, a choice. A choice between the liberalism of the Democratic Party and something else with the Republican Party. And what Goldwater is actually a part of is a broad movement to actually find a place for a very decisively anti-liberal party platform. And also, where would it be housed? Would it be housed in what Strom Thurmond thought would be, the states' right Southern Democrat or states' right Democratic Party? Or would it be within the Republican Party itself? And the wars were actually within the Republican Party in the 50s and into the 60s about what that party would stand for. So, but he's still a creature of the party. He was always a registered Republican, and that's so different from Trump.
Well, I want to go back briefly to 1964. Because there is an important conversation to have around race, not only at that time, but also this year. We heard Barry Goldwater Jr. defend his father's vote against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. He made the point that this was about defending the Constitution, and that, in fact, he had good relationships with African Americans. But still, I mean, a lot of historians would say that that was the moment in time that split the Republican Party from the African American vote. I mean, what kind of historical connections can you make there with what we're seeing in Donald Trump and his campaign?
Well, and the interesting thing about a Barry Goldwater is one of the things that people don't know about his early political career is that he was actually working a little bit with the NAACP. In fact, Phoenix school districts were actually desegregated actually a year before Brown. And what's interesting about that is for him, the way that Goldwater would talk about it is that he found Jim Crow so repugnant, and he connected it to the fact that he was half Jewish. His dad was Jewish, and actually until his star began to rise, he was excluded, right? He was restricted from where he could actually sort of circulate. However, as his African-American butler said, Goldwater had a blindness to understanding it. And so it is true that Goldwater, you know, is wrapping this all up in the question of states' rights and local control. His main concern actually in 64 was that the 64 Civil Rights Act would put an unprecedented amount of government power over hiring decisions. So it was really that background of that he was a business conservative first and foremost, but it speaks also to his way that he couldn't see the dynamics and the perniciousness of race and racism and inequality.
Well, it is easy to look back on history and to make comparisons. John Dean, the former White House counsel to Richard Nixon, said in Newsweek that all comparisons are off the mark and they are nonsense. But Elizabeth Shermer, thanks nonetheless for going there with us. You're an assistant professor of history at Loyola University Chicago. Thanks very much.
Thank you.